Shem Hashem Naseh V'Natzliach. We want to start now a series of shirim on Sipurei Ma'asiyot. We want to start a series of shirim on Rav Nachman's stories based on the book from Rav Shalom Arash, The Garden of Yearning. So as an introduction, Rav Nachman said in his stories that usually stories put people to sleep, but these stories have the power to wake people up. And he also said that usually when you try to teach people, you tell them Torah to help them come close to Hashem, give them Torah lessons. He said, since I see that these lessons aren't helping you to get out of what you have to get out of your complacencies, I can tell you these stories, that these stories should help you to come close to Hashem. He also said that usually stories don't have the power to help barren women have children. So, but these stories, they have the power to help a barren woman conceive. So we'll start Bezat Hashem, the fourth story. We'll try to go through the first story this time, and then we'll elaborate on the story piece by piece. The first story, Reb Nachman spoke up and he said, on the way, I told over a story, and whoever heard the story had a thought of repentance. He says, this is the story. One time there was a king who had six sons and one daughter. And this daughter he loved very much, and she was very precious and very special in his eyes. And he loved her very much. He used to always play with her, spend time with her. And one time, he was together with her on a certain day, and he got upset at her. And he threw out of his mouth the words, he said, may the evil one take you away. And nighttime she went to her room, and in the morning they didn't know where she was. They couldn't find her. And her father was very pained. He went to search for her here and there, looking all over for her. When the viceroy saw that the king is very pained, so he said, give me a servant, a horse, and some money for expenses, and I'll go search for her. So he went to search for her for a very, very long time, until in the end he found her. And now we're going to speak about how he searched for her until he found her. And he was going for a very, very long time. He's going in fields and in deserts and in forests, and he searched for her for a very, very long time. One time when he was going, he saw a path to the side. And he thought to himself, since I'm going for so long in the desert and I can't find her, let me go on this path. Maybe I'll find her. And he went, again, he went for a very long time. Afterwards, he saw a palace, and there were many soldiers surrounding the palace. The palace was beautiful. Everything was set up. Everything was set in place perfectly with the soldiers. He was afraid of the soldiers. Maybe they won't let him enter the palace. He thought to himself, let me give it a try. I'll try. And he left his horse and he went into the palace. And they left him. No one said anything to him. They let him enter the palace. And he went from chamber to chamber, from room to room, with no one stopping him. He came to one palace and he saw there the king sitting there with his crown. And he saw many soldiers. And he saw they had singing on instruments, musical instruments. And it was very beautiful. And the king and no one else asked him anything. He saw over there good foods and the delicacies. And he stood up and he ate and he drank. And then he lied down in the corner to see what's going to happen. The king saw that. Suddenly he saw the king asking to bring the queen. And they went to bring the queen, and there was a very great commotion, because there was a simcha gedolah, it was a very great joy that they came to bring the queen. And they were playing on the instruments, and they were singing that they were bringing the king. And they took a chair, and they sat it near the king, and they sat her down. And this was the lost princess. And the viceroy saw her, and he recognized her. Afterwards, the queen, who was really the lost princess, looked and she saw someone lying in the corner. And she recognized him. So she got up from her chair and she went there and she touched him. And she asked him, "Do you recognize me?" He told her, "Yes, I recognize you. You're the lost princess." And he asked her, "How did you get here?" And she answered, "Since my father, the king, threw from his mouth those words." And this is that place. This is the place of the not good. This is the place of evil. And the viceroy told her that her father is in great pain, in great anguish, and they were searching for her for many years. And he asked her, "How could I get you out of here?" She told him that it's impossible to get me out of here unless you choose for yourself a place. And you sit there for 1 year, and the entire year, you should just desire to take me out. And whenever you have extra time, spare time, you just desire and have a want to take me out of here. And you should fast. On the last day of the year, you should fast. You should not eat the whole entire 24-hour period. And he went and he did this. And the last day of the year, he was fasting and he didn't sleep. And he stood up and he started going. He was on his way to the palace. And he saw a tree. And on this tree, there were apples, beautiful apples. And they were very desirable to his eye. And he stood up and he ate from one of the trees. And immediately when he ate from the tree, he fell asleep. And he fell asleep for a very long time. And his servant was trying to help him and wake him up. And he didn't wake up at all. Afterwards, he woke up from his sleep. And he asked the servant, "Where in the world am I?" And the servant told him the story. He told the viceroy the story that you were sleeping for a very long time, for many years. He said, I supported myself, I sustained myself from the fruits. And he was in very great pain. Now he went there and he tried to find her, and he was in very great pain. Because if he would have came on that one day, he could have taken her out. And because of one day, you lost everything. But she said, "For one, it's very hard not to tell you not to eat. It's very hard, especially on the last day when the tahara is so strong." Which means that the princess was telling him, now she'll make it a little easier for him. And she's not going to tell him he can't eat. It's very hard not to eat. So she told him, return to a place for 1 year. Choose a place. And the last day, you could eat. Just don't sleep. And don't drink wine so you shouldn't fall asleep. Because the main thing is the sleep. And he went and he did this. On the last day, he was going there and he saw a spring. It was a red, and it looked like wine. And it smelled like wine. So he asked the servant, do you see such a spring? It's befitting, there should be water. But it looks red and it smells like wine. And he went and he tasted from the wine, and immediately he fell asleep for many years. He fell asleep for 70 years. And there were many soldiers that passed by with their whole entourage, and the servant of the viceroy hid himself because he was embarrassed of all these soldiers. Afterwards, one time a fancy chariot passed by, and in this chariot was sitting the princess. And she stood up near him and she went down and she recognized the viceroy. She tried to wake him up. She tried very hard to awaken him. He didn't wake up. And she started complaining and saying how hard it was, so many years and years to get me out of here. And because of that one day, you were able to get me out and you lost your chance. She was crying very, very bitterly. She was crying very much that it was a great mercy on him and on her. And it's such a long time, and I can't get out. Afterwards, she took the kerchief from her head and she wrote in it with her tears, and she put it next to him. And she stood up and she sat in a chariot and she traveled from there. Afterwards, the viceroy woke up, and he asked his servant, Where in the world am I? And he told him the whole story, and there were many soldiers that passed by, and there was a chariot, and there was the princess came down, and she was crying and she was screaming, and she said that it's a great mercy on him and on her. Meanwhile, he looked and he saw a kerchief near him, and he said, "Where did this kerchief come from?" They answered it that the princess came and she wrote in it with her tears, and she took it, and he picked it up towards the sun to see what the letters are. He read what was said there, all her complaining, and now she's not in the original palace anymore. Now he has to find a golden mountain with a pearl castle, and there, that's where you'll find me. And now the viceroy left his servant, and he went on his own to find her. And he went for many years to search for her. And he said to himself, certainly in the regular normal inhabitants, you're not going to find the golden mountain and the pearl castle. Because he knew the world, he knew the map of the world, he knew that there's no such thing in the regular world. So he started going through the deserts, and he traveled through the deserts for many, many years. Afterwards, he saw a very big person, which was inhuman to see such a big person. And he was carrying an immense tree that in the inhabitants, you don't find such a big tree. And this man carrying the huge tree asked the viceroy, "Who are you?" So the viceroy answered, "I'm a person, I'm a human being." So the giant wondered and he said, "This is a very, very long time that I'm going in the desert. I never saw a human being over here." And the viceroy told him the whole story, and he's looking for a gold mountain with a pearl castle. And the giant told him, certainly no such thing exists. And he set up, he pushed him off, he persuaded the viceroy. He told him, people convinced you with foolish tales because there's no such thing exists. And the viceroy started to cry. The viceroy said, certainly there is some place that it does exist. And again, the giant tried to persuade him, tell him there's no such thing. I tried to push him off and tell him they certainly told you foolish tales. The viceroy said, "The bevadayesh, there certainly is such a thing. There certainly is a gold mountain and a pearl castle." So the giant told him, "According to me, I think it's foolishness what you're saying. But since you're so stubborn, I'm in charge of all the animals. I'll do you a favor. Because since they run throughout the whole world, I'll call them, maybe they know about such a golden mountain or the pearl castle." He called all the animals, from big to small. And he asked all of them. They all answered him that they never saw such a thing. So the giant told the viceroy, "See, people told you foolish tales. If you listen to me, turn back around, because you're certainly never going to find such a thing, because no such thing exists." And the viceroy was very stubborn. And he said, "It must be that Banimtza Bavadai, there certainly does such a thing does exist." So he said, "Since you're so stubborn, I'll tell you what, I have a brother who is farther in the desert. And he's in charge of all the birds. Maybe they know, since they fly in the skies, they fly very high, maybe they saw such a mountain and such a castle. And if you meet him, tell him that I sent you." He went for many years to search, and again he found a huge, immense person. He was also carrying a huge tree. And he also asked him, like we said earlier, "Who are you? I never saw a human being." And the viceroy told him the whole story, and he said, "My brother sent me to you." And this giant also persuaded him, told him certainly no such thing exists. And again, the viceroy pressured him. He said, "Yes, there is such a thing." He kept arguing, saying there is such a thing. So the second giant said, "I'm in charge of all the birds. I'll call them. Maybe they know." He called all the birds, and he asked them all, from big to small. And they all answered him, "They don't know of such a mountain and such a castle." He said to them, "See, I told you this thing certainly does not exist. If you listen to me, turn back, go back home. It certainly doesn't exist. And the viceroy was very stubborn. And he said, "V'vaday yeshno ba'olam." There certainly is such a thing in the world. So now the giant told him, if you go further in the desert, you'll find there my brother. And he's in charge of all the winds. And they run through the entire world. Maybe they know. And he went many, many years to search. And he found another huge person. He was also carrying an immense tree. And he also asked him, and he answered him like we said earlier in the story. And this giant also persuaded him. And he told him, there's no such thing exists. And again, the viceroy was very stubborn. And he said, there is such a thing. So the giant said, for you, I'll call all the winds. And he called all the winds. And he asked all of them. And none of them knew from such a mountain and such a castle. So the third giant told him, see? You see that they told you foolish tales. The viceroy started crying. He was crying bitterly. And he said, I know that there certainly is such a thing. Certainly, this such a thing certainly does exist. Meanwhile, another wind came. And the giant in charge of all the winds was very upset. And he told him, why do you come late? I ordered that all the winds should come. And he answered that I was detained because I was trying to carry the princess to a golden mountain and a pearl castle. And the third giant was in charge of all the winds. He asked the wind, what's expensive over there? And the wind answered him, everything is very expensive over there. And the third giant, the charge of all the winds, told the viceroy, since it's so long that you're trying to seek, you're trying to find her, and you work so hard to find her, and now maybe just because you're not going to have money, this is going to deter you, it's going to be your deterrent, it's going to hold you back, that you can't reach her. Therefore, I'm going to give you a kli, I'm going to give you an instrument. That every time you stick your hand into the instrument, you pull your hand out, automatically it will have money in there. I'm giving you a purse. Every time you put your money in the purse, you put your hand in, you'll take money out. And the giant in charge of the wind ordered that this wind take him there. And a big storm wind came and carried the viceroy there. And it brought him to the gate. Well, there were soldiers that didn't let him enter. So the viceroy stuck his hand into this purse, and he took out money, and he bribed them. And then he went into the city. It was a beautiful city, and he went to a rich man, and he bought some food, because you have to wait there. The person needs a lot of holy intellect and wisdom how to get her out. And how the viceroy got the princess out, Rav Nachman didn't say over. But in the end, he took her out. So this story really refers to every person's life, every person's mission in this world. Every person came to this world to serve Hashem, to come close to Hashem. Every person in our life, our whole life, we're really searching to come close to Hashem. We're really searching for the lost princess. We're searching to connect with the Shekhinah. And everyone's life, we go through every step of this story. We go through all the deterrents, and we go through all the ups and downs. But the main thing is, the main way the viceroy eventually got the princess out was because he was stubborn. He was stubborn, and he kept his will, his strong. He didn't give up. He stayed focused. No matter how many times the giants told him, they deterred him, and he searched for years and years. But he never gave up because he was focused. His focus was he wants to come close to Hashem. His focus was he wants to find the lost princess. So nothing was able to shake him. He had, as long as our will is strong, then nothing could break us. And that's really the evil inclination, is the whole job. His whole job is just there to break us. Rav Nachman says that when the Yetzirah makes us do a sin, the sin is a small change. It's not really what he's trying to get us to do. He wants us to do the sin and then to be broken for the sin and to lose our strong will. So He knows as long as we have that will to serve Hashem, then we're going to make it to the end. And we see in this story, in the beginning of this story, we see something. The way the whole story happened, the way the whole princess got lost, was all because of one sentence that her father said. In the beginning of the story, we mentioned, her father said, "May the evil one take you away." So that one sentence, that's why the viceroy had to put in so much effort, and the king had to suffer for so long, trying to find her, all these years and years trying to find her. We see from here how careful we have to be with our speech. Even one sentence, like the Chafetz Chaim he speaks about in the Sefer and in Chafetz Chaim about all the laws of Lashon Hara, how careful we have to be, make sure not to use our mouth in the wrong way, to try to use our mouth in the proper way. Like we see in the end of the story, what was the main way the viceroy got her out? It was with this purse. This purse is really the power of prayer. That every time we need anything, we could stick our hand into this purse, we could connect with prayer, and automatically we'll get what we need. So in the beginning of the story, we see how the downside of speech. We see how for one sentence, it caused so much agony and so much pain, and for years and years of sorrow, of the viceroy and the king waiting to find a lost princess. But in the end of the story, we see the positive side to speech. The positive side is using it for coming close to Hashem, for Torah, for prayer, and whatever we need, we could pray. We could pray for. Even though we feel a lot of times we're lacking so many things physically, spiritually, we have to realize that Hashem gave us a very powerful weapon. He gave us a very powerful thing. He gave us. He gave us speech. We have the opportunity whenever we want to open our mouth and speak to Hashem. We always have to remember that nothing could stop us. So Hashem is always with us. He's always by our side. And we always have this power of speech. So no matter how many times we feel like the Tahara, the evil inclination, we got knocked down, we can't do it anymore, we have to realize that Hashem is very close to us, and we're very close to Hashem. Like the Pasuk says, the Torah is not far from you, because it's in your mouth and it's your heart to do it. What does that mean? One explanation is that we could always connect back with Hashem. No matter what level we're on, no matter where we are in the world, whatever spiritual level we're on, whatever physical place we are, even the place where there's not so much spirituality, we always have to remember Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere, and we have our mouth with us. And as long as we have our mouth with us, we can always get to wherever we need to get to. Bezat Hashem, we should merit to use our speech in the right way, utilize the speech in the right way. Hashem should help us come close to them. Every person should merit to get to their goal and to meet the Shechina and find the lost princess in their life. How long was it?